You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're going to dive into the Junkie Sports page right now. And don't forget Neil Greenberg, our friend from the Washington Post. He's going to join us coming up at 7:20.
So Eric,
right around the corner.
Your worst nightmare is a dirty kitchen like me and actually unloading the dishwasher and loading it. And I got up this morning and the kitchen's just a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a frat house.
That's what mine looks like because my son pummels it every night.
Right. So I've got to do that during the commercial breaks. It just tilts me.
I get so tilted taking the dishes out and then loading it up. I just hate it. You know, I just freaking hate it.
I got to do it every. We probably run the dishwasher, I don't know, 10 times a week.
By the way, my wife, you know, kind of things that my wife reminded me last night that Mother's Day is this weekend.
Yep.
It is.
We might have to dedicate
up
a segment or two on this, fellas, because basically there's no shopping. No one's, you know, what are we going to do for our wives and our mothers?
It's a great
Jason's
question.
Jason's mother's passed. You know, it's horrible. This would be a tougher one, I'm sure, for Jay, for the first one, right? It's the first one without your mom.
Yeah.
But you're still going to get something for tea. And we don't, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Got to do something creative, God forbid. I don't know.
Yeah,
know what
creative.
To do.
Like, guys aren't creative.
No.
Girls are creative.
Right.
We're not creative. We're just robots.
I don't know. Maybe we take this one off.
That's what I'm thinking.
Just punk this Mother's Day?
Yeah. We'll make up for it next year.
I have one idea, but and that's for my wife. I don't know, for my mom. What am I going to do for my mom? I'm not shopping.
What? Get her on the Zoom with the boom boom and just say hi to her and happy Mother's Day. She'll probably love that.
I try to do that every other day or so.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
anyway,
they don't
Mother's
expect
Day is going to be a debacle. Can we lower the expectations right now and tell all of our wives and moms, we're going to lower the expectations for Mother's Day. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. And I'm not expecting anything for Father's Day.
You can always do. Oh, I never want anything for Father's Day. Usually on Father's Day weekend, I just want to be left alone and watch the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but that obviously is not going to happen this year.
Right. Anyway.
You can always do flowers, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. Of course, and I would use Pro Flowers, as
of course
I always
you'd
do.
Use Pro Flowers.
Of course you would. Of course
but
you would do that.
That's like kind of a given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I have an idea, but, you know, it's going to be like Cake said. It's going to be like a homegrown kind of
it's going to be low-key.
Yeah,
well,
very low-key.
The first 10 or 12 days of May every year are just madness in my house because my wife's birthday is the first, mine's the fourth, and then you got Mother's Day.
Yeah, I mean, that is creeping up on us, Cakes.
I mean, I just can't spend that much
it's
money.
A few days.
Yeah.
So I usually get the combo gift, birthday slash
Mother's Day.
Yeah, rolled into one. I like that.
So did you already do it, or it's coming up?
Haven't done it yet. I told you, it's a different year.
It's a different year.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get her anything.
You got to tighten up the purse strings a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe
everybody's
just some
cutting corners.
Maybe just some flowers, or we'll do some curbside.
If you have any good suggestions, hit me up, EB Junkies, on Twitter. So, Jason, I teased the Patrick Ewing story.
Yeah.
So, Patrick did an interview with Dan Patrick yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to show how old we are. I remember vividly when Patrick Ewing decided to go to Georgetown. It was a massive story, especially here in the D.C. area. I remember to this day picking up the Washington Post, because that's where we got our news back then, and reading about this kid from Massachusetts or whatever.
Ringin' Latin.
Yeah, picking Georgetown.
Same high school as Rumeel Robinson, if you remember him.
Good pulse. Nice one.
And it's not like I really knew Patrick Ewing as a high school player. I don't believe that I did, but I just remember reading what a big story it was that he had picked Georgetown. And then, of course, that was, you know, when we were kids, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's when we were falling in love with college basketball, and Georgetown was, you know, one of the big, big programs, one of the top two or three programs in that little run there, right?
Right.
In the country. And so was a huge Ewing fan. I didn't realize two things. I didn't realize that, and of course he did, he strongly considered UNC, okay? Mm. He actually, and he and Jordan knew each other from playing summer ball and that kind of thing and going to camps. Can you imagine this, Jason? He could have gone to UNC and been a part of, it would have been Patrick Ewing, Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Michael Jordan. I mean,
right.
They would have won 2-3 in a row, right?
Like an NBA Jimmy All-Star
Black,
team.
Jimmy Black, I mean, at point. Matt Doherty.
Can you imagine that front line? I mean, that's just unbelievable. Apparently, what kept him from going, they said he didn't have a great experience. There was some sort of KKK rally.
Oh.
The weekend he was, I mean, something horrible like
down in,
that.
Where, down in Chapel Hill?
In that area.
Oh, yeah.
And it maybe got some attention, or maybe because Patrick was this real sort of legendary recruit, maybe they ramped it up.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, who knows? But some awful thing happened, and that turned him off to Carolina.
Soured him.
But he said, Dean, and this is the kind of guy Dean Smith was, said, hey, if you don't come to Carolina, go to Georgetown. Go play for John Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did.
It's pretty classy. It's
pretty
classy,
right?
Him, yeah.
So those two observations blew me away. A, that Dean was that classy, because in the recruiting world, that just doesn't happen. You know, more often than not, coaches are they're talking S about other coaches and other programs.
Yeah.
They're not doing that.
They're bad-mouthing everybody
else. Well, you notice he didn't say go to Duke or go to Maryland or go to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Right, so
but there still was a decent rivalry.
Stay
there.
Out of the conference.
Right, go
that's
to the
true.
Big East. Go
that's
over
true.
There.
Yeah, and maybe we'll play each other in the national championship.
But and then just the whole idea that Carolina could have had Ewing, Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Michael Jordan. I mean, it just blew me away.
Right. No, that would have been super team right there.
Yeah.
I thought he also talked about having his gold medal stolen.
He
did he talk about
that
too?
Well, he doesn't know if he lost it. He said he's moved so many times.
Right.
That he didn't know if he lost them, but he said there was one time I think his place in New York was robbed, and he assumed
that's where the gold medals
they were
went.
Stolen. So who knows? That was less interesting to me than the other Nuggets. But
sounds like he needs a Baldino's safeguard his valuables. EB,
I got to tell you something. I use that Baldino's safe all the time.
First I use
all,
it too. I don't have gold medals in it. I think the most valuable thing I have in it is a passport that I never use and/or poker chips.
Well, that's, and your caps ring.
And the caps ring. That's true. That
right?
is true. Yeah.
Well, I store my liquor in there so that my kids don't serve it to all their friends.
Oh, that's
right?
smart. You
smart
know what?
Move, yeah.
That is really smart.
So
I think I'm going to do that.
In there. It is a pain every time I want a Jack and Coke or something or a bare
where
knuckle.
Where is the safe? Is it in the garage?
It's in my garage.
Okay. So you got to go out to the garage to load
go out
up.
Go to the garage to get my liquor. But it's fine. But I also have, we have like our passports in there and that sort of thing. But lately I've been putting my chocolate bars, because my youngest, she crushes all my chocolate bars. And when
right.
I want to go out to the fire pit and make a s'more, I got nothing left. So I have liquor, passports, get some banking information, and chocolate bars.
That's the weirdest combination of valuables, and I use that in air quotes. You're sticking in your Baldino safe that I've ever heard.
By the way, I just saw them online, and I had to order them. I got several big giant M&M mint chocolate bars that I
really?
Mean, that's just heaven. Are you kidding me?
Where'd you get those?
I think I got them from Target. I waited 2 weeks.
So they're mint chocolate chip.
They're
mint chocolate bars.
I think they're mint M&Ms inside chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And they're just, I mean, I haven't even had them yet.
It's an amazing innovation.
They have to be heavenly. I'm
gotta
such
be
a
amazing
mint guy. Yeah.
My wife got me 50 Reese's cups for my birthday.
Oh, she knows you love that.
Oh, well, those are the best things of all time.
50 full size or the
No,
little,
they're the minis. They're the
minis.
Mini ones. Yeah, okay. The miniatures.
Yeah.
No, I've been getting the full size. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they're in a bowl right there on the counter in the kitchen. They're just calling my name right now.
Of course they are.
Might have to pummel a few. Pumble with a B.
Well, that's one reason why I'm worried about the Rona, because no one eats more sugar than me. I got to be pre-diabetic. I mean, I just have to be cakes. How could I not be?
You might be. I don't know.
With all the sugar?
Go see the doctor, EB.
By the way, you probably saw the story. I'm sure we'll talk to Coach Brooks about it. But Coach Brooks is running a charity effort for frontline workers during the
yes.
corona.
Yeah.
And he's offering to let his kid give him a buzz cut.
Ah.
All right. So he's got he says if the donations top 25K, he's going to let his daughter shave his head.
Nice.
If the donations top $25,000 for feeding the front lines.
Really?
Yeah. Can we get Coach Brooks on Zoom with the boom boom when we have him on this?
Yeah, we should do that. Can we do that, Drabby?
Is that possible, Drabby? I want to see his hair.
Who cares if it goes on NBC or not? Let's just use it for us, you know? It's just more fun.
We can try.
Yeah. Right. Yeah
at least request it.
So we are earlier there.
It
might be difficult, but we can try.
All right.
He doesn't care. He's so low key. He'll go in there even
he's
if
a chill
his,
dude. It seems like it.
PJs.
Right.
Now, if you don't get back on defense, he's probably not as chill.
Right.
But, I mean, not like the Wizards play a ton of defense last time I checked.
By the way, Cakes, Frank Gore is 37 years old,
yep.
signed a one-year deal with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Right. He can set an NFL record this year because the last 37-year-old running back to see more than 50 carries in a season was who?
Hold on, the last NFL running back to see more than 50 carries in a single season.
At age 37.
Ooh, can you give me a hint?
I hung out with him in 1988 at his house in L.A.
I think I know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my guy from back in the day?
Yep.
Marcus Allen?
Yep, Marcus Allen.
That was my guy back in the day at the height of my Raiders fandom.
Marcus Allen was my dude. 1997 at age 37 was playing for the Chiefs, and he carried the ball 124 times for 500 yards and 11 scores, right? That's the last time a 37-year-old running back had more than 50 carries. So Frank Gore, who had 124 carries last year, is – attempting to break Marcus Allen's record, and he will, by the way.
Former Junkies guest, Frank Gore.
Yep, Frank Gore. I can't believe he's 37, still cranked out 124 carries. He's third all-time in NFL rushing yards.
Yeah, despite I believe
he is going to the Hoff.
Neil Greenberg is going to join us in just a bit, and he's going to tell us why he shouldn't go to the Hoff.
Yeah, I know. He never was the best running back, whatever.
That's fine. He is going.
When you're 37 and you put up those kind of numbers.
Yeah, he's going to be third all-time in rushing. He's going to the Hoff.
I don't think Gaylord Perry was ever the best at his position.
That's an old bull.
Yeah, but when you pitch for 25 years and you win 300-plus games, you get to go.
Eric, but don't you always call those QBs compilers?
I don't know that I do.
Frank Gore is a classic compiler.
You always see Hall of Very Good.
But
it doesn't matter.
Kind of numbers.
It doesn't matter. He had 9,000 yard seasons. You can call it a compiler if you want.
Yeah, I mean that's just a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's in.
You look at like Lynn Swann's numbers. They're kind of putrid, but he had a few moments. You know, whose career would you rather have?
But Lynn Swann's was cut short. Had all his concussions.
Right,
he would have put up a lot better numbers.
But if you look at his numbers, they're pretty mediocre. But
I'm sorry, you can call him compiler or not. I'm putting him in.
Yeah,
was he the best running back ever? No, of course not.
No, but he was freaking. He had a great career.
Absolutely.
Is that a Hall of Fame career? I'm putting him in.
You know what? And durable. Always was around for 16 games.
Well, that's your opinion. Let's get the counterpoint.
Did Neil write a piece about it? I haven't read it, so.
Yeah, big surprise. On the outline, it says, Neil Greenberg, Frank Gore is not a Hoffer.
Right.
So there you have it. There's Valdez's assertion. You haven't looked at an outline since 2006.
Well, to be truth be told, he sent the outline 4 minutes before the show started.
Okay.
Right.
But I'm only doing that because I know you're not going to look at it anyway. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's basically a cover your butt email.
Yeah.
Right,
of course.
Right. On both ends.
Yeah, so that way Eric can say, I didn't know this wasn't coming up. You didn't send me an outline.
Right.
Right, well, he sends it 4 minutes before the show. How am I supposed to look at it?
I know, because sometimes you'll say during the show, Where's the rundown? I'd like to have it next to me.
I do like to have it.
There is some of that.
I don't need it at any particular time. I like to have it when I want it.
It's a nice reference point.
And that's why I send it.
That's all.
Thank you.
That's all it is.
But what was the phrase earlier? Cruise control. That's cruise control.
When you're at the top of your game, Valdez.
We're at the top?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Arbitron would argue.
Oh.
Well, that is way out of our control.
Yeah.
That's way out of our control.
All right, but what we can control is that Neil Greenberg is coming up next. He's from the Washington Post. We'll talk about Frank Gore and more than next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. In just a few moments, we'll be joined by our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. I believe he's on right now. You can follow him at N Greenberg on your Twitter. What's up, Neil? Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
We are doing well. How are you doing with your young son during this pandemic? Give us an update.
Update is, it's great being able to spend some time with him, like quality time. It's a handful. He's 15 months old, so he's mobile, and he wants to do everything. It's great. I also completely underestimated how much daycare lightened the load. So if they're listening, thank you. But it's been great.
There's nothing like it, man. It's worth it, whatever it is, whatever the cost. Whatever the emotional expense, whatever the tiredness is, there's nothing like it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean he brings so much joy, and it seems like every day he comes up with something new to make us laugh. We're blessed. We got a good little kid. He's doing great.
How does he get along with the doggy?
He loves the doggies so much that he wants to go see them all the time. So he'll stand by the door. To where they are, and he'll just yell pup 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 pup, and then if you say no, he gives you like the most gut wrenching pout. It's so difficult, but he's still a little guy, so we got to be careful. You know how those dogs are in terms of just energy. He loves animals. Everything is a cat or a dog, but though now he sees birds. So it's pretty neat.
I can't remember. Do you have a Dutch Shepherd like I do, or do you have another breed?
No, I have two Belgian Shepherds, and we have a German Shepherd. So,
oh, okay. You got three. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a lot of animals in this house.
Man, those are high drive, high energy dogs.
I used to train police dogs, so they're police canine. They're.
I'll be honest. Look, I'm not an animal guy. That has to smell.
We have them in the basement. We have a special room for them where they are. We have three dogs and two cats. So I'm sure if you're not like an animal person, or even if you are, if you come in our house, you're going to notice.
Right.
You'll notice that
it's very musty.
Is there a rivalry between the Belgian and the German Shepherds? Some wackadoo European thing going on there between them?
You know, there's something weird. Our German Shepherd is a very nice dog, but sometimes, like with other, they're all male. So whenever you have like more than one male in the house, things can get a little bit weird. So he does take offense to one of the other dogs from time to time. But we're able to keep the peace. They realize that they need to get along whether they like it or not.
Real quick, before we get to sports, are there certain breeds that your dogs dislike? Because my dog can't stand Labradoodles.
Well, you can't
I mean, every Labradoodle, first of all, she's attacked one.
Yeah.
Right? My neighbor's Labradoodle she attacked. And
what
I had
is
to
that,
pay.
Like a little teeny weeny dog?
No.
It's a cross between a Labrador, which is a big dog, and a poodle,
right.
which
right.
can be a very big dog. No, they're equal opportunity offenders. They will bark at any dog. They will, you know, they will posture against any dog. They don't really have a particular breed that they do or don't like. It sounds like it's a personal thing between your dog.
I don't understand. It's everyone. I remember she got into a fight with a black Labradoodle back at a dog park in Leesburg.
It's black.
Must have been said something about the Red Sox or something.
Maybe. But ever since then, every Labradoodle she sees, she goes bananas. I mean, yeah. And she wants to just eat them. So just wanted to throw that out.
We're joined by Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already, at N Greenberg. So, Neil, when you and your wife send off your youngest, the youngest Greenberg, to kindergarten, will Frank Gore still be in the NFL plodding at 40-plus years of age? I mean, he's 37, signs a one-year deal with the Jets. And he's a remarkable story to play as long as he has. But your article in the Washington Post, the headline is, "Sorry, but Frank Gore doesn't belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame."
Yeah, I wrote that a couple months ago when it sounded like he was going to retire. I mean, he's 30, yeah. 36 years old, right? He'll be 37 in a couple days.
Right.
And, you know, here's a guy that is, look, he's not as efficient as he once was, right? Who is after the age of 30? But I really do think with him in particular, his health is what creates his Hall of Fame case, right? Because he's been so healthy for so long, and, you know, he ranks third in all-time in career rushing attempts. He's, you know, third in career rushing yards. He's 21st in career touchdowns. I mean, those are high numbers, but you look at the you know, the overall body of work, and he's just, he's never been the best running back in the league, right? He's never set any records. He's never done anything other than just be dependable, especially, you know, after the age of turning 30, right? He's only missed, what, a couple games. He missed a couple games last year, but before that, he was really dependable. I'm a proponent of smaller Hall of Fames. That includes the NFL, baseball, whatever. I think that it really should be reserved for those players that had a amazing impact on the game, and I just think Frank Gore falls short of those marks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism. I'm not going to go to war on it, but I'd put him in. I always use the Baseball Hall of Fame for me as sort of the gold standard. I feel like traditionally it's been the more exclusive Hall of Fame. That may not be accurate, but that's always been my perception. And when you have guys, you know, compilers, guys like Phil Niekro and Gaylord Perry, I'm dating myself, or Don Sutton, guys that were never really the best at their positions, or arguably the best on their teams, they're in. The numbers are just staggering. And it's to me, it's impossible to overlook. I mean, 15,000-some yards. I mean,
right.
You know, if he stays healthy,
he's going to have 16,000
yards. 16,000 yards, and he's going to have over 100 touchdowns. I mean, what else do you want? Was he ever the best player on his team? Probably not, as Neil points out in his article. Was he ever, you know, the best at his position? There's no question. I don't think he ever was. But when you put up numbers that dominant over a period of time,
I'm just going to disagree with Neil just because when you're third all time in a statistic that's that important for a running back, which is yards.
Right.
I think you have to get credit for the durability.
I agree. I agree 100%. And I'm not saying he won't be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a slam dunk Hall of Famer without
right.
a doubt. I guess it's more of my overall philosophy towards Hall of Fames than anything else, which is You know, were you ever considered the best player at your position? And maybe in 2006 he was, maybe. I mean, that was kind of his high point, almost 1,700 yards, 8 touchdowns. He had another, 500 yards receiving that year. Mm-hmm. I think that's really...
That's an impossible standard, isn't that, though, Neil? Because, like in basketball, for example, if you come up in Jordan's era, if you play Jordan's position, then no one else gets to go to the Hall of Fame? That's not really...
Right, but I think, though, you would say that, you know, Magic Johnson was one of the best players of the position, and Larry Bird, and so forth. I mean, I think that you can...
Some were, but... But that doesn't, I don't know what position you would characterize MJ. Would you characterize him as a two-guard, small forward? I don't know. He played everything. But that didn't rule out all the other guys in the same position.
Sure. How about we just start with the best player on your team then, right? I mean, if you're not the best player on your team, consistently the best player on your team.
But I don't know that that's fair, too, because, like, you have, like, the Steelers, you've got, like, 9 guys in from their era, right? Or the Redskins in their era,
That's true, and I think with football, there's so many different positions that have so many different responsibilities that maybe it's a much more nuanced case, as is basketball, like you said. I mean, we're getting into positionless basketball more and more every year. Baseball is a little more clear-cut. Hitters, pitchers, the statistics are a little more defined in terms of what the role is for each player. But again, I mean, it's more of a philosophy issue. I mean, we can debate individual players all the time, and maybe you can sway me. But ultimately, for me, I think Hall of Fame should be smaller, not bigger.
Gotcha. What is the? I don't understand the stat that you cited here. Now, again, in fairness to Neil, as he pointed out, this article was written like in November or something of last year. But there's a stat that you cite from Pro Football Reference, and I don't understand how they came up with the stat. The approximate value per se. I need to know how they came up with that.
So it's a stat that's similar. I guess you would liken it similar to like a player evaluation score, right? Higher is better. Anything over 10 is considered to be like a really good season.
Right, but how they get to it?
Well, they look at the obviously the overall stats compared to the position. They looked at was he nominated to a Pro Bowl? Was he nominated to an All-Pro team? With offensive linemen, where there aren't really too many stats, it becomes a little wonky. But with the skill positions, especially, it looks to put in historical context, how well the player did, and assign a numerical value to that. So it's kind of similar to like wins above replacement in baseball. It doesn't tie directly back to wins like the WAR stat does, but it's essentially an all-in-one stat, probably a lot closer to the PER, the player efficiency rating that you see in basketball sometimes a number of years ago. Although this can be used for defensive players too, approximate value can. So it's just an all-in-one stat that's trying to make it easy to compare two players from two different eras at two different positions. Higher is better. There's a lot of mathematical gymnastics that go into the calculation, as you can imagine. But if you want to, sit down on a Sunday, I got some extra free time during the
I understand the concept of it, Neil, but it's hard when it's just thrown out there. I want to know the context of it. If I believe it's about that or not.
And I guess that's bad on my part. I probably should have explained it a little bit better.
It's fine.
The gist of it is, it's a one number all in one inclusive stat. Higher is better, and you look at some of the numbers that he's put up over the course of seasons, and they've been mediocre.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post at @NGreenberg on Twitter. You also wrote recently about the radical realignment plan for Major League Baseball, where the Nats would be in an Eastern pod along with teams like the Yankees and the Phillies and the Red Sox. You think the Yankees would be big winners in that, correct?
I do. In the AL East, I mean, they don't have too many powerhouse teams, but in this new configuration that they're talking about, where, like you said, it's a 10-team pod based on geography, the Orioles would be joined by the Marlins, the Pirates. Obviously, Toronto's already in there. And then, even the Philadelphia Phillies, who I don't think are going to be very good, and you can only play teams that are in your pod, it gives a team like New York, the Nationals, even Boston, a chance to really feast on some of the dregs of of Major League Baseball. So I think, it adds a bunch of wins per 100 games to the Yankees. I think that they can really clean up and perhaps be the only team that wins 65 or more games out of a 100-game season.
Yeah, I mean, Mets, Boston. Boston will be down. So Mets, Boston, Nats, O's, Phillies, Pirates, Blue Jays, Rays, Marlins. I think if they played 100 games in that division, they'd win 70 games.
Yeah, I mean, half the division is going to be 500 or below.
Right.
And, you know, the ones that are below are really below. I mean, Baltimore's not doing anything. Miami's not doing anything. And the Pirates.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, you're adding two teams to the Yankees that they can only play, and you're eliminating the Dodgers, the Astros, the, you know, Twins of the world because they can't play them just based on how this thing is set up. So it really does, it helps all the teams that are at the top of the league heading into this, but I think it helps the Yankees the most because of who they're adding.
Neil, best guess at this point, does the NHL return and in what sort of format, if you had to guess?
I do think it's going to return. I don't think we'll see a regular season ending. I think they're going to have to go straight to the playoffs. So I think that from what I hear, what, baseball is going to start July 1st. At least that's some of the reports that I see. And I think once one league starts, the other leagues are going to feel like they can start back up too.
Yeah.
So I do think that the regular season will be done. It'll be what it is, and then they'll just do some type of playoff format.
Yeah. I mean, just think, if that's July 1st, and I hope it is, I mean, that's still 2 months away. We have 2 months before. Of course, like baseball, they're going to have a 3 or 4 week, I don't know, maybe two, but definitely a little spring training again.
It'll be about summer training. The middle of June for spring training.
Yeah, summer training.
Spring training 2.0.
Yeah.
And then a July 1st start, obviously there'll be no fans in attendance. And that's really the only way you can have it in the home parks is if you, you know, there's no fans. And that'll be true for any. I know the New York Times just announced that they're not bringing back their employees back until Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, logistics of New York City and getting in and out and everything. I'd be surprised, you know, how Washington, D.C. is going to do it because parts of the metro are closed. Obviously, the risk of mass transit. That's true for any major city. That's true for any city in general now. So, yeah, it'll be very difficult. But I think once one league breaks the seal, I think that that pretty much gives the impetus for the rest of the leagues to follow.
Neil, thank you as always for the time. It's Neil Greenberg from The Washington Post, and we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Sounds good. Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Thank you, buddy.
At N Greenberg on your Twitter. Remember, you could donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating is easy, hassle-free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. That's DonatePurpleHeart.org.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 a.m., we'll dive into the Skins, see where ESPN has them ranked in their updated power rankings.
I bet you it's pretty high.
Spoiler alert, it's not very high.
Yeah, I saw
just
it.
To let you know.
I'm ready to fight.
Oh, you are?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, good. So you'll be primed and ready to fight.
Let me guess. You're going to have him like 17 or 18.
No, I don't know. I don't even care about the rest of the league. I just know that's too low.
Right. So we will get into
that.
Well,
they did have the second pick in the draft.
Yes. Yeah.
For a reason.
They're not going to do that 2 years in a row.
So we'll get into that at 8. But as we've been doing every day at 7:45, it's time for our Nats World Series Rewind. We take you back to early July. A good night for Corbin on the mound and a really good night for Trey Turner with a walk-off.
It's the World Series Rewind, presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and service in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com.
Gomes puts down the sign, wants the elevated heater, the pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him down. Corbin, with a strikeout, finishes off seven innings. And if that's it, that was a tremendous performance as Corbin departs. That one was for Tyler.
So now the count full, 3-2 with two out. It means Gomes will be off and running on the pitch.
A little bit of a head start would be a big deal if this one's hit into a gap.
All three fields playing slightly to pull in center and in left, straight away and right. The 3-2 runner goes, swinging a line drive into right center field toward the gap. Gomes around second, heading for third, splits the outfielders all the way to the wall. Gomes around third, he's coming home. The relay is missed. Gomes scores! And a curly W is in the box. They're out to second base to mob Trey Turner with another game-winning walk-off hit in the bottom of the ninth inning.
So that was July 2nd over the Marlins. That improved the Nats to 43-41 on the season. The first highlight there, Dave Jagler touched on it. Patrick Corbin, very nice outing for him. Mm-hmm. Seven Ks. His start was disrupted by a 76-minute rain delay, and he was also pitching in honor of his friend Tyler Skaggs, who had recently passed away, another pitcher in the majors,
right.
And he actually wore his number to pitch that night. So he did it with a heavy heart, obviously, but came up with a really good performance for the Nats that night.
Yeah.
And he was very emotional after that game when he was talking to the media.
They had already kind of turned the corner at that point, right? They were over 500.
They were 43-41 after that win,
yeah. And then we kept saying, you know, we've talked about it many times, but until they get to 500, we can't really, you know, buy into this yet. And this is when they started to. And this is when we really started to buy in. Man, I miss that stuff. Every time I hear it, it makes me sad almost.
I know.
It makes me happy, then it makes me sad, Cakes.
It sucks that it's gone, and it stinks that we should be following the Capitals in a playoff run at this point. But, you know, we've been thrown for a loop. Nothing's normal at this point.
To say the least.
We just have to hope that, you know, some of these plans that we're hearing about, like, you know, baseball, you know, the second spring training is going to start mid-June with a date of July 1st, hopefully, for them to start their season. And hopefully, like Neil Greenberg touched on, the NHL can come back, you know, ditch the regular season, just go playoffs. You're going to go fanless. I don't know, you know, if they're going to play in, you know, one specific site. They're going to play in three or four different cities. It's yet to be seen how that's all going to develop. But
you know, made flowers on me for maybe 3 weeks.
Perfect timing, Bobby.
Makes me sad is all.
Without getting into the whole COVID drama, if I really think this is plausible, if they get the testing to a point where the public isn't upset, right? I mean, with private companies able to distribute these tests, baseball just has to hire their own company. And, you know, I think, like, right now we could all get tests. The problem is I think it's fairly cost prohibitive. Somebody is the people are quoting me. It's about, say, $120 or so to get, like, an antibodies test. That's the price range I've heard. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get that test. I think it was 30% chance I've had it.
Right.
But I don't want to pay $600 for my whole family to get tested.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want the price to come down.
Is it really $120?
That's what I heard. Now, wow. Maybe that's – I mean, I'm sure there are other places where it's cheaper. You know, obviously, if you could get into a study, you know, like at NIH, the problem is everybody in Montgomery County that I know tried to get into that study at NIH.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't respond because they've never seen such response.
Maybe you start with just you because you know you were sick. Was everyone else sick?
I was so sick.
Yeah, I was too.
My daughter was so sick. I mean, she almost went to the hospital.
Yeah, maybe you start with just you two, and chances are at least one of you had it, if not both.
Well, if one of us had it, then I think probably the whole family had been exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other thing. I could look at it that way. But anyway, I think cost has to get down for the average person, right, to be able to justify taking tests like that. But I don't think we can't be that far away from it. It's been a few months now. They know that they've come up with these tests. As soon as they get to a point where the general pop can generally get tests, I know a guy I follow on Twitter said it was no problem. He went to the clinic up the street and got a test. 20 minutes later, he knew that he tested negative.
Oh, no. All right. Yeah. So my friend and her daughter got the antibodies test, and the mother did not have it, but the daughter did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she had it back she had it back in February.
Right. That's so great.
When no one knew what it was.
See, the thing is, if I had it, I had it in December, you know, and I think it's very plausible. I mean, they're coming out with people that they're doing these retrospective little studies, and they're finding out that people that they coded dying for something had COVID.
Yeah.
Which is awful, but it's good to know that it was out there before anybody thinks.
Absolutely. I think I had it in February.
Do you?
Yeah.
I know I get virus.
When I missed those 2 days, I remember I came in and I probably shouldn't have, but I stayed, and then CK said go home. And,
yeah.
Did you ever get a flu test?
Yeah, I tested negative for the flu.
You did. See, that's – did you have fever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, I tested positive for the flu also, but you remember I was sick for like 6 months, always sick.
You could have the flu and the COVID.
See, yeah.
Went in there and they said, you probably just have some virus that's out there.
Right.
That's what they told me.
Well, that virus was corona.
One of the few good things about COVID is that in the future, if you're even just borderline sick, you just call into your boss and say, I'm sick. And it's not, they're not going to be like, oh, you can tough it out. Come on in. They're going to be like, no.
You stay home for two weeks.
Right. And don't come in until you feel 100%.
Right.
Okay? Don't you come in here.
Which is what we should all do, but we also have an inner drive and work ethic. And then there are people, we all know, that they don't have the luxury of doing that because they don't get sick days or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's a conundrum. But, if you're sick, by all means, you got to try to stay home.
Especially now. So if the season does start July 1st, let's hope. I'm pessimistic that it's going to be July 1st. I would say it's probably going to be closer to the middle of July, if that.
But I think it's going to happen.
Okay. But if it does, that means in the middle of June we'll have something to talk about because the teams will get back together. I don't know where they'll practice or train. Maybe they'll go back down to Florida. But at least we'll give something to talk about. You know what I mean? We'll have something that we can kind of focus on leading up to the start of the season. If they do it the way we think it's going to happen, but at least we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, and then your BetUS guy won't pester you about betting on the UFC 249 card.
Correct.
And Korean baseball.
And whether or not you have fans or not, you can argue about that till you're blue in the face. You want no fans, fine. If someone tests positive for it, I don't think you have to shut down the league for 2 weeks because we have rapid testing. So you just test everybody, and then you keep going. You know what I mean? Whoever tests positive.
Yeah, it won't be like the Korean baseball league.
Yeah, it's not going to be like – they have a rule. If you test positive, you shut it down for 3 weeks. Well, they'll just never – they're going to stop and start. That's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm with you on that.
I think we're getting pretty close.
But if
and
they do –
you know, these athletes, they generally cruise through it. They're in tip-top shape. They're super young and healthy. It's not really an issue.
Now, if they do have the fanless stadiums, which they'll start out doing, I don't think that would include media. I think media would be involved, right? Media would be invited to the games.
Yeah, but they probably have to, you know, socially distance and all that. Keep
no, that's fine. But that just means the junks could go to the games.
Or we can watch from home.
Yeah.
Or we could. That's true.
Yeah, most likely.
I'm perfectly fine with watching from home. I usually am. I would go to a game if I could spread out a little bit outdoors. But that's just me.
All right, when we come back, EB's ornery. He's ready to fight. He's ready to dispute.
Well, it's insulting.
The ESPN power rankings, where they have the Redskins ranked. We'll get into that next here on The Fan and NBC Sports Washington.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.